I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What's up, everybody? Ben Reza here for Stochastic, talking a little PGA strategy for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. It's going on this week. We're sticking with Florida golf. We just had the Honda Classic, let's be honest, the Cognizant Classic, and now we move up to Orlando for Bay Hill for Arnold Palmer for an elevated event, and we got a lot to talk about here. I'm excited that you guys are here. I was actually just in Florida myself, flew back this morning, ready to tackle some golf, put in my teams, and certainly see what we can find with this field. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome to Stochastic, all things DFS from PGA to NBA. NFL, once in season, college basketball is going to be here. March Madness is upon us. If you like what you see, subscribe. Be part of this community. I'm going to tell you all about some of the tools that we've got. Obviously, our sims, our data, things that we've seen a ton of screenshots with lately. And it's super exciting. Part of my process as well now. But enough about that. Let's start talking about what we need to know. So before we get into what we're going to see with this field, let's look back a little bit. Let's talk a little Cognizant Classic. Specifically, Austin Ekro, congratulations. EVR was there. Minwoo Lee was there. Those are two punt plays I think you're going to hear a lot about this week. And Florida golf in general. What do we need to know? What do we need to know about Bay Hill? What changes? So I think first things first, we know about water and hazards and Bermuda. These are staples of Florida golf. What is Bay Hill, though? It's long, par five scoring. Obviously, you got to keep it out of the thick stuff or you're going to have some serious problems. We've seen this tournament a ton. We've seen this course a ton. A little different this year because of the elevated event. Now, the best of the best are here. There's no doubt about that. But it's around basically a 70-man field, 50 or 10 shots in the lead. We just saw this at Genesis. It's a weird cut line. It's kind of like the Masters. You should make it, but as we Justin Thomas and Fitzy and some of these other guys will tell you, it's no guarantee. Some of the big names are going to get cut, but what are the skills? What are the kind of formulation that we need to make for our golfers? We have such a strong field that I think most of the guys superseded. If you play good golf, you play good golf. But I think ball striking, certainly par five scoring, you need to scramble here. I don't care how good you are with your irons. You're going to miss some of these greens. You're going to have to get up and down. You're going to have shots from the rough that aren't going to hit the greens. So I do think being creative, but the more and more we talk, we're getting into strokes gained being good, strokes gained all around. Obviously, you need to do that. Comps, I've seen the waste management comp, and I get it. Seen some Augusta in there, and I get it. I think really it's take advantage of these par fives. Certainly long irons. You're going to have some longer shots in. This is a long course. And I don't think you can be overly aggressive off the tee. Long irons go a long way this week. And that is something that I'm factoring in. But really, with a field like this, I think that's more important for salary savers than anything else. Let's get into it, though. Let's start talking about golfers. We're in the top tier right now. And we'll get started. We'll go right down the list. And we'll start looking at what we've got for some projections and talk about it. Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, Victor Hovland, Xander Schauffele, Ludvig Åberg, a popular pick in the betting market, and Jordan Spieth. These are all very good players. It's, again, a small field. Everyone's going to have ownership. Rory's projecting as one of, if not the highest owned player on the slate. Certainly Scheffler's right behind him. First question, can you play both of them together? Absolutely. I think you can jam that way this week. I actually did a video on this very channel where I used our lineup generator, which is available always, and it spit out some really interesting Scheffler-Rory combos. You had to punt a couple times in the 6K range, but it definitely can be done this week. There's no doubt about that. Cantlay, Hovland, Xander, these are probably the more, you know, if you're going balanced, the guys that are going to pop up more and more. None of them really stick out. That's not to say that I hate the spots for them. They all obviously are world-class players. Hovland, perfect game except around the green. That really holds him back at times, and I do think that could be a problem here. Xander, someone, you know, at Genesis looked really good, gained across the board. he's probably the one I have the most interest in outside the big two. Certainly, if you tell me Scheffler or Rory are winning this, I believe you. Rory can't get out of his own way. He's made a triple in like every start somehow. I think he's close. It's Rory McIlroy. What is there to say? Obviously, I like him this week quite a bit. Aberg.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, I mean, he's someone, obviously the price always feels lofty, but the results also back it up. Ninth at Farmers, second at Pebble, 19th at Genesis. I still think, all in all, I'd rather bet him than play him. I think the range of outcomes is pretty wide, actually. That grades out fine. Again, one of the things I love about our data is that you can, first of all, you can customize what you want to see. You can move some of these over. I always like to look at some of the leverage scores. I think that's a good indication of what I want to see. Neighbor grades out pretty neutral, slightly negative, but that's going to happen. Xander grades out nicely. Hovland, not so much. Scheffler, not so much. That's interesting, but he's so good, he does supersede some of that, in my opinion. Jordan Spieth, I do think he's the lowest of the people we're talking about on the screen. Probably should be. Does it differently. There's no doubt about that. If Spieth can avoid getting it into the drink, he could be fine. His short game, he could hit it into the ocean and it'll probably still work it up and down for par. That's just kind of how he rolls. But I do think most of the guys above him certainly have him dominated off the tee. Spieth is kind of that different type of build when you're taking the Mackenzie Hughes, the Cam Smiths of the world. You're doing those not off the tee heavy approaches. Can be effective. It's not my favorite build. Let's scroll down a little more before we round out again. These ranges are going to be blurred. There's not that many players. Sam Burns, Max Homa, Colin Morikawa, and JT. I think the bottom of the nines is very, very strong. You've got Colin Morikawa. Certainly, you know, if there is someone who can mask short game and even around the green, it's him. Ball striking clinic. Now, it hasn't been that good in recent weeks. Genesis, he gained 2.5 on the approach. He lost slightly at Pebble. He missed the cut at the Farmers because he blew up on Friday. I don't know what that was about. He's been a little flat. Now, he was good during swing season. He's Colin Morikawa. He's a damn good player. He only has one top 10 here. It was in 2020, but he only has 3 appearances. I don't really read too much in that. The thing that concerns me the most with Morikawa is he consistently is pretty poor putting on Bermuda. It's hard to think that we're going to get a spike putting week. It can always happen. But this is historically in Florida, it hasn't been his best. And that does make me a little concerned. I still think you can go to him in pure ball striking lineups. But you've got JT right there who, again, weird year to start. Like everyone, including me, was, okay, JT is going to win. I think he might win Genesis. I think he might win in Phoenix. You know, third at Amex, sixth at Pebble, 12th at Phoenix. Miscut at Genesis, which is bad, but it makes it even worse when you realize – you know, it's just like this. It's a 69-man field. How are you missing the cut when you only have to beat a couple dozen players? He lost across the board. He just did not have it. I'm not going to hold it against him too much. But still, that is a little disappointing. He'll be here. I expect him to play well. I don't think I'm starting lineups with him. I think that's a little too aggressive in the sense that you're sacrificing a lot of win equity up top. He's an easy second man in. If he's, you know, we'll see our ownership updates. If he's 12% owned, I plan to get slightly over the field there. I think JT's a solid play this week. I'm pretty comfortable just going right back to him. So to round it out, listen, best players in the world, Rory and Xander for me, Morikawa and JT, I think, in the lower nines. Those are really my priorities. I'm probably going to short Hovland and short Aberg, but we'll see how aggressive you can be. And that has to do with the value. You know, you can get 2 or 3 of these guys if you go very cheap at the bottom. And I do think with made cut equities higher across the board, that is a strategy. It's not a pure non-cut, but it's pretty close in some iterations. And if you get those guys through, you could have a lot of firepower as you kind of work down. Now, you've got Will Z, Fleetwood, Cam Young, Fitzy, Wyndham Clark. I mean, just so many names that we want to get to here, and we're going to discuss in just a second. But I have to obviously mention what we've got going on. You see what I'm using to do this video. This is our data hub. It's part of all the information that you can get here at Stokastic. It's actually part of the Sims as well. And all our packages. This is what I'm talking about. If you want this type of data, if you want to integrate this into your process, we have it for you. And not only that, there has been a lot of people. The Sims are unbelievable. I use them. I'm a big fan of them. We have had a lot of people that just said, you know what? I want this data. I want it for my process. And we said, okay, you know what? That is fine. We've got a data-only package for you as well. So you've got the best of both worlds here. If you click that link below, you're taken to this page. You have your data weekly, your Sims and data, or your Sims max. You can do monthly as well. You just toggle, no problem. It's all there for you. We also have lineup generator. Again, we have something for everybody. So if you're looking to maybe just enhance your process, if you say, I haven't had the best start of PGA, I'm looking to change it up, give it a try. Come in for the week. See if this data, see if these tools can really help you out. Make sure you get in our Discord as well. That is part of all this. We have a lot of sharp people using the same tools as you, help you, assist, collaborate, work hard, and kind of talk through it. Because there's so many people that I've talked to that say, I've been using this in this way. And it's like, wow, I never thought about that. You can use these tools in so many different ways. It's really cool to hear the collaboration of sharing ideas and processes and things of that nature. So give it a try. Again, it's what we use to power these shows. Tommy Fleetwood doesn't jump off the page, doesn't grade out crazy good or anything like that. 17.25%, 3/4% owned. I like the spot though. I really do think, I know it's, how many times are we going to say that Tommy Fleetwood is going to win? I mean, apparently one more, because I do think he's got a shot here. He's made every cut in 2024. Hasn't played a ton, but he was 10th at Genesis. It was more with the putter than I would want. This is such a good course for him. He can handle it. He's seen it year after year. He was 3rd in 2019, 10th in 2021, 20th in 2022. He's always there, not in the thick of it. He's making the cut comfortably. He can lean on his irons. Bermuda's not a problem. Difficult conditions aren't a problem. If it gets windy, that's not a problem. Tommy Fleetwood checks a lot of boxes, and in a field this strong, he's not your first man, and he might not even be your second man. And it's not to say he's the clear and obvious target in this range, because you've got Cam Young if you want to go aggressive off the tee. Will Z certainly has shown that he's getting back to business. You know, he was out with injury and whatnot, runner-up at Genesis, 13th at Farmers. The guy is putting on a clinic really everywhere, but the ball striking speaks for itself. The off-the-tee game speaks for itself. If he can figure out the putting at API, watch out, because he's 3/3 and made cuts. And in all three of them, he has lost strokes putting, just a putter away. Working down, Fitzy is there. Clark, Decky, certainly he grades out with some positive leverage. I like him. Tom Kim, Jason Day, Sahith, Sungjae, Henley, and Poston. I do think that the Decky mark starts kind of a trickle down of a light range for me. From Tom Kim to Poston, whatever we're calling JT these days. I don't love the range. You don't have a ton of ownership here. You have, 5 out of 6 projecting for sub 10%. Jason Day is going to be the most popular, and I don't think it's ironic. I think he would be the one that I'd gravitate towards as well. I looked at him in the betting market, couldn't get the right number, but Jason Day has proven that when he still has it at times. It's a little more erratic, but he's been playing good golf. He was 6th at Pebble, 9th at Genesis. Really crafty around the green. We've known that for quite a while. He's got to survive off the tee in the sense that he's going to get gobbled up, but off the tee at times he does bleed strokes. He's been consistently good off the tee at API. I think that's a little noisy, but honestly, looking at it, and he doesn't play this every year, but every year he plays this, the dude is gaining off the tee here, and he's gaining with the putter. When you have those combination, it's kind of hard to screw up. If you keep it out of the thick stuff, and you're making a ton of putts, your irons just need to be average and you're going to be pretty effective. So Jason Day is a guy that I can get on board with. You know, Sungjae has been one of the more volatile players early in the year, but I have to now officially just wait and see. He's lost 5 straight on the approach. It's just really hard to back him right now. It's just not happening. And when you've got a guy like Thiegele or Russell Henley right next to him, I think the prudent move is probably just to pivot, unless you're trying to make a hero call. which I'm not. Henley really did himself a lot of favors with the putter last week. He bailed himself out of a ton of situations, maybe masked what was a pretty average ball striking week. So just keep an eye on that when you look at this range. Thigala, kind of indifferent, grades out neutral. I think Jason Day is my priority there. Looking elsewhere, though, you know, again, Tom Kim and Poston, just not really for me. Let's scroll down a little bit. Matthew Pavone, this guy is pretty good. Chris Kirk, Corey Connors, 12%. If that's the number, and again, this stuff can and will update, I'm going to be over. I like Corey Connors a lot. He was in my betting article this week over on Odd Chopper. Consistent. He's made six straight cuts, all of them in 2024. The guy hasn't lost strokes off the tee in like a year plus. Now, he's almost automatic to lose around the green, and lately he's been automatic to lose strokes putting. He's lost an 8 of 9 with the putter. That is going to lead to not a lot of top finishes. It may lead to a lot of made cuts, but as we talked about, your made cut equity is very high here. Corey Connors loses some of that consistency because everyone's consistency is going to be a little better in this field, but there's no denying that this is just a good course for what Corey Connors wants to do. You know, third at API in 2021, 11th in 2022, 21st in 2023. That'll work. Hasn't done much with the putter. It does seem like Bay Hill should really suit his game. I feel pretty comfortable with him sub 8K. And it's a range that I'm not, you know, oh man, the opportunity cost is massive. Not really. Nothing against, you know, I think Chris Kirk, Benny Yan, who's going to be pretty popular, Shane Lowry, Adam Scott. These are all names that I think are fine. Even, listen, Jake Knapp, would it have been even remotely surprising to see him break through and then just completely mail it in at the Cognizant? Not for me. And what does he do? He follows it up with a fourth. It might be more impressive to me. Just incredible. He's got three top fives over his last four. The guy cannot be denied. Now, his price, you know, it's still in the mid-range, but he's in a strong field here, so I get it. But he grades out with nice leverage. You don't need a ton to get over ownership-wise. It's hard to say that he's a complete cross-off. Normally, I would in a situation like this, but I'm not going to say that. And the tools have identified him as someone to notice. I do prefer Benny on. You know, again, he's made every cut in 2024. Good with the short game, good off the tee. I think this is the type of course, certainly the type of area that we've seen him have some good golf in. Got to fix the putter. We need some positive putting regression. It hasn't been awful lately, but it's still the weak link of the game for my man Benny. But 7,600, I do expect him to play well. And I think you're going to see a lot of lineups that are like Rory, 9K guy, and then Connors on Lowry, boom. Like those type of builds. And I get it. I totally get it. I'm going to look to some of them as well. I'll see where you have to land. This isn't the best range, in my opinion. A lot of guys that are just grading out neutral. Again, if they pop up in the Sims for me, that's fine. I won't manually override them. As we scroll down, you've got Ricky, 7,100. Not bad, only a couple percent owned. Potentially, you know, you're realistically going to get a water ball or two. It feels like he makes mistakes, but he really scores. If he can get through this cut, and again, it's an easier cut to make, he can roll it. He can get hot. He's been a relevant showdown player at times, but the stats are not great. He's lost three straight on the approach. He's not doing much of anything. I think you're betting blindly that Ricky can conjure it up. And you know the upside is there, and you're only devoting a couple percentage points in terms of field ownership. Bez, here's one of my guilty pleasures, but man, I really think you can justify it. The guy, he was 20th at Pebble, 28th at Waste Management, 24th at Genesis, and he missed the cut at the Classic last week. Okay, that's not good, but I watched that in the middle of the second round. He was flirting with the lead, and then he blew up. He missed the cut on the number. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but not all missed cuts are created equal. You know, I really think that he's shown, even in a missed cut, flashes. Now, can he sustain it? Can he survive off the tee? He's lost five straight off the tee. You can't do that. We need that to be a little better. Now, how does he combat it? He's gained in five straight tournaments with the irons. The guy's a good putter. I like Bez this week. If he's 5%, I'm definitely getting over. There's no doubt about it. Him and Griot, the guilty pleasures. This is a good range. This is how I want to round out my lineups. You've got Bez, you've got Griot, you've got Hadwin, all grayed out well. Hadwin showing positive leverage. These are the type of guys at the bottom of the field, cannot be ignored. These are real players, no doubt about it. Even scrolling down, I mean, Justin Rose, 6,800. I'm not saying the price is wrong. It did catch my eye, though, a little bit. EVR and Minwoo. This is really where we need to stop and talk about this, because this could be, I'm not going to say the defining thing of the entire tournament, but one of the more important decision points. You have two chalky players. Minwoo is going to be actual chalk. He's 6,600. Clearly, these guys' price tags, you know, are coming off runner-up finishes. They're not factoring that in. The field is going to overrate that probably. I think we're all guilty of that in some regard. I like EVR. I think he fits the game. He can lean on this off the tee game. His ball striking has been there. Eighth in Mexico, runner-up last week, gained a ton with the putter. If he can ride that on Bermuda splits, I really do like the spot for him. Minwoo, I'm not making an extremely firm stance. I plan to be around the field. Maybe a little less, maybe a little more, depending on where ownership comes in. He has not looked good at API. I don't think that's the end-all, be-all, but he's been just miscut in both, and he lost 3 and 6 strokes off the tee in his appearances here. He's probably a better player at this point. The guy's obviously shown the ability to get through the cut lines here, shown the ability to tackle tough fields. He was 5th at a U.S. Open, 6th at the Players, so we can do it. I still think, though, when you're talking about chalk in these lower ranges, at times you want to be careful. One benefit for Minwoo, it's a 69-man field with a cut that's going to bring a lot of people in. You're incentivized not as much to roll the dice, because if it was a super difficult cut to make, you know, anyone that's like very popular, I might just look for game theory leverage here. Even if he doesn't have it, he might slip through the cut and still return a pretty middling opportunity where it's not like you wanted him per se, but he didn't kill those lineups completely. So just something to keep in mind. I think you do have really good pivots, though. You've got EVR, even though he's not a sneaky pivot. Patrick Rogers, I think, is a sneaky pivot. Sepp Straka is a good pivot. I always say Megamind Genius play. I think Svensson might just be not a Megamind Genius play. I've tried this like 3 weeks in a row, and I got it right at Genesis and wrong at Waste Management and the Classic, where he got cut both times. He has not gained at all with the putter. We need that to come around. The ball striking is not that bad. There's no doubt that I think he's being masked a little bit by lack of putting, but it's also not jumping off the page. I thought he would be lower owned potentially, and he's not going to be popular, but he just looks like he's another player here. So you're choosing best available outside Minwoo and EVR in terms of the ownership situation. He may make the pool. If he pops up in the Sims, I'll live with it. I don't have a ton of actionable advice there. And then you got the guys like the glove to round us out. It, you know, again, there's not a ton down here. I don't think you need to get super crazy as you dip to the very, very bottom. Taylor Moore, Adam Shank, Justin Lower, that did not work. Nick Dunlap, I'm not a fan in the sense, like, he seems like an awesome dude. I'm rooting for him. But the thing I like about this is we don't know. I've talked about this a lot on the PGA Strategy Show in the past. When you don't know, there's always somewhat of an incentive to buy, because there is a chance that Nick Dunlap is amazing. And he's obviously proven he's pretty damn good, but I mean amazing where he should be 10K in this field. I would say that's unlikely at this point, but we don't know because he's so young and he's so talented. Maybe he fizzles out and he's always going to be remembered as a miraculous amateur winner. Maybe this is just the start. And I think for that reason, if you want to throw a flyer down here, I think you're looking at him potentially. If you're going skill set stacks against the grain, Mackenzie Hughes type players, Jameis, I'd be careful down here though. I don't think you need to be that aggressive. Again, with our lineup generator, which is available, you're talking under $10 a week. The links are below. Give it a try, read about it. I was getting Scheffler, Rory lineups, and I didn't need to dip into the very bottom. It wasn't that big of a deal. And I would kind of suggest not going this low unless you really have to. There's so many good players up in this range right here, in the upper sixes. I'd rather do that than really, really dumpster dive this week. I think that's just a recipe for disaster, and it's an unnecessary risk that you'd be taking on. So just to sum it up, obviously we've got Rory and Xander and those guys at the top. Mid-range, you can either go balanced at the 9K range. 8K range, I don't think is the strongest in the book. And then you get into the mid-range. You've got the sevens, where, again, you're going to have those decision points with Corey Connors and those type of players. And then the sixes, where I think the Minwoo EVR decision is going to be really important. Similar to the Bennion Corey Connors decision, but as you get lower, people will gravitate more and more to those. Oh, I've got those Rory lineups. I have 6,600 Minwoo EVR. If you can find a pivot there or you don't like those guys, you're going to create a lot of leverage for yourself. That is where I'll lean on the tools and see kind of what I'm getting in my portfolio this week. But it's going to be fun. There's a lot of money up for grabs here. I know I went through a lot, kind of a whirlwind. If you have any questions, certainly if you're part of the Stochastic family, just find me in Discord. I'm in there talking golf, not even just on the betting side, DFS as well. So if you have any questions there, but if not, and you're thinking about getting something or you have a question, just tweet me at JazzRazDFS. I'm always happy to help. Like I said, we're a community that's growing quickly, but we always, always, always want to welcome people in. You know, there's people who do play PGA DFS golf every week to people who are just trying it out. We want to make sure we have something for everyone, whether it's the Sims, the data, lineup generator, Discord. Whatever fits your process works for us, but hopefully, you know, it would fit my process, Tommy Fleetwood winning this tournament. That's more of a betting take than a DFS take, but he's going to be a key player for me in both. And I'll leave you with that, friends. It's going to be fun. Again, if you have any questions, just let me know. Let's have a week for me, for Stochastic, for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Good luck this week. Take down some tournaments. I want to see those logos at the top. We'll do it again next week. Until then, guys, good luck. Enjoy. Talk soon.